Hi, everybody. It's Jim Bakei. Podcast is Be You. The world will adjust. So this will be our last podcast. We're going to take a little break for Christmas. God knows, could use a break from everything. Holy mackerel. We're right back in it. I was just saying to Katie, I live near Women's College Hospital, and there's a clinic there to get a COVID test, and there's never anybody there. And boom, all of a sudden yesterday, it was like 100 people there. It feels like the onset of the original coronavirus. And everybody's first reaction is to go into complete lockdown. And maybe that's the right reaction. I don't know. I started to see universities doing it, and I saw businesses are all of a sudden working on contingency plans. And, you know, we've talked about mental health, taking care of yourself this year. We've talked about standing up for yourself. And we've talked about so many things about yourself and how you really need to be responsible for yourself and, you know, give yourself that tender love that you need, not just, you know, personally, but professionally, time-wise, everything else. It's a very stressful, and I can feel it. You know, I can just feel the stress amongst everybody that I talk to. And, you know, what's interesting is some organizations are having record years and bonuses will be record bonuses, but, you know, it's like, what are we going to do with it? You know, like, we're not going traveling, you know, we're not going to Hawaii. People are hunkered down. And while they're accumulating this wealth and have this disposable income, the reality of this limited, impactful life that we're having is taking its toll on people. And I was saying to somebody this morning, we've got to get comfortable with the single most uncomfortable thing for human beings is to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. We seek out comfort throughout our entire life. We seek out a safe place for us mentally, physically, all kinds of things, emotionally, job-wise, and everything else. If you interviewed 10 people, 100 people, 90% would say, I hate change, right? I like routine. I like to get up at the same time every day. I like to do the same things every day. I like to have my life pretty well planned out for me and so on and so on. I, unfortunately, am not one of those people. Maybe not unfortunately, maybe fortunately. Unfortunately for the rest of my family. But I think one of the skills we're all going to have to start developing, we're going to have to allow ourselves to grow into, is to have this discomfort, to feel uncomfortable, to recognize that we can't spend time thinking about how do we get comfortable again. We have to recognize that this may be a state that we're in for quite a period of time. It's not like having the flu and that if I do the right things in 4, 5, or 6 days, I'll feel back to my normal self. Because I don't even know what a normal self is anymore, right? And it varies according to people. And people are looking forward to going back to work, not going back to work. So this whole state of disarray is one that if you don't get yourself over the hurdle, that this is what we're living in, and it is what it is until it isn't what it is, you're going to spend a lot of your life talking about, worrying about, and wanting about, and all of those types of things, which can really have no impact on. What you really need to do is sort of use this Christmas break holiday to sort of turn the lens just a little bit and say to yourself, okay, so how in an uncertain, in an uncomfortable world that we're living in, what are the things I can do to make myself more comfortable in that? Probably the first one is there's shit that I have nothing, no ability to do anything about. So let's just get that right off the table. Secondly, how do I see myself progressing in this world? What is it I can do differently? What is it that I can allow myself to do that perhaps I wouldn't sort of do? And focusing on you, first of all, starting with yourself, your own health and your own well-being, mental and physical. Secondly, your own health within your family group and everything else, just not letting yourself get stressed out by other members of the family. Or as I often say to my wife, you know, when she talks about members of her family or other people talk, I'm like, you're pushing on the string. That's who they are. They're not going to change who they are. You're wasting energy. You're wasting your sound. You're wasting emotion. Like, just stop doing it. I know it's easy to say, but just stop doing it. It's just a remarkable thing when you literally just block somebody out of your life. I'm just not going to listen to it. It just upsets me. It just doesn't make me feel well. I was telling the kids a story the other day about, I was doing Christmas cards and I sent out a note to someone. I hadn't talked to him in quite a long time, back to last week's podcast, which I guess I had no need to talk to him or felt no need to hear his voice or anything else. I wasn't missing anything because otherwise I would have called him. So I sent him a note because, you know, my wife wants to send him a Christmas card and I could give two shits, but not about Christmas cards in general. That's a whole other subject for a whole other time. Maybe I'll save that for next Christmas. But anyways, I digress. So the phone rings and there's his name on the phone. And the first thing that he says to me is, "I haven't heard from you in ages." I hung up the phone. Click. You know, fully expected. Person calls back, you know, in this day and age, nobody ever expects to get hung up on. They always think it's, you know, "Oh, the call got dropped or something." And he said to me, "Oh, you must have dropped the call." I said, I didn't drop the call. I hung up on you. And he goes, "Well, why would you do that?" And I said, "Because I haven't talked to you in ages. Clearly, you didn't feel any compulsion to have to call me. I didn't feel any compulsion to have to call you. So why don't we just leave it at that? Why do you have to phone and make me feel guilty about not having phoned you?" And so I said, like, seriously, that's how you start a phone call? Not, "Hey, Jim, how you doing? You know, how's the family?" Like, nothing. "How's life? How's Jennifer?" Nothing, nothing, nothing. "You haven't called me in ages." Like, I don't need that, right? I'm ridding my people of those types of things. And of course, you know, my kids see it more as, you know, "Dad, you're becoming more of a hermit and everything else." I said, no, but I'm not, right? I'm not. Why do I want to be in an uncomfortable situation? Why do I, "Oh, well, you know, I don't know why I haven't called you. I've been busy." No, I haven't been that busy. I could have called you because I call other people. What I really should say is, you know, I've really not felt any need to call you. And obviously you haven't felt any need to call me because you're only prompted by the fact that I'm asking you for your Christmas card list. But it's funny because I don't have a problem with it, right? I don't have a problem with doing it. And I wouldn't have a problem with someone doing it with me. But the kids, it really unnerves them. And I've been trying to figure out why it unnerves them, right? Why do they want to hang on to people that start, "Oh, you know, I haven't seen you in a long time. And, you know, you haven't done this for me. You haven't done this for me." What is it about us that is afraid to tell people how we feel? You don't have to do it. You know, I did it in a rude manner because I hung up on them. But you don't have to do it. You know, I could have stayed on the phone. And I have done this where I've said, "Hey, listen, seriously, is that how you want to start this phone conversation? Why don't we start all over again? Ring, ring." And you start and you go, "Hi, Jim, how are you doing? How's the family?" I was just so pissed about it. And like, I could have called him for the address, but I didn't even want to call him for the address. I just wanted the address. Clearly, you have no reason to call me because you don't. And so the only reason you call me is to bust my chops. I don't need people to bust my chops. I have six kids. They bust my chops all the time. I don't need more people busting my chops. You know what I need? I need more people doing nice things for me, like I try to do for people that I like. And if you don't like me, don't do nice things for me. Let's drop the fakeness. Let's realize that being honest doesn't mean being rude. I think the two are tied together. You know, I was talking to another client yesterday. He was talking about handing out bonuses and doing people's reviews. And he goes, "You know, why is it people, when you tell people that you don't think they're very good at something and they're very good at something else, they don't think you like them. And they say, you know, 'Oh, geez, I didn't realize you dislike me.'" And he goes, "I don't dislike you. I dislike what you're doing. And I'd like you to stop doing it or do it better." But this oversensitivity, and I don't think it's new. I think it's gone on for time in memoriam. And I think, you know, as I've said millions of times, I think that's how we're sort of raised. Well, you know, no, I know that's what you want to say, but you can't say that. You can't tell people what you think. I'm like, I can't tell people what I think. Let's just stop and think about that. And I never do it with no disrespect leading the conversation, because that usually means I am disrespecting you. And I never say to be perfectly honest, because it gives one the indication that perhaps in the past you haven't been perfectly honest. And if you haven't been perfectly honest in the past, how can I trust that you'd be perfectly honest now? So if you continually be honest with people about how you feel, and it is about how I feel, it's about how you feel. This is how you make me feel. Am I feeling the right way? Because that's your intention. Or am I just not getting the message that you're sending, right? It's important to know. And so in this phone call, I was honest with the person at the end of the day. And I just said to him, listen, when I feel the urge to call you, I'll call you. But if I don't call you for a long period of time, don't take it personally. I just don't feel the urge to call you. And if you want to call me at any time, and as often times as you want, by all means, go ahead. But you should make that decision for you, and I'll make that decision for me. About 7 or 8 years ago, I parted with a long, long time friend of mine. I think about him every once in a while, but I think about the lost friendship, but the friendship wasn't as good a friendship as I thought it was. The kids kind of picked it out, but I didn't. And it was kind of like one of those friendships because we had a past. But I think friendships, relationships have to be about the current, right? It's not about taking advantage of. It's not about relying on, well, I was good. I was a good friend, you know, when we were in grade 8 and, you know, Bobby broke up with you or Mary broke up with you. I was there for you, fortunately, and so on and so on and so on. It really is about the current. And I know that some people will perceive my rhetoric as harsh, but it's not harsh. It's quite freeing and it's quite liberating. And it helps you make better decisions about everything in your life. When you're honest and you find out honestly back that you may have thought that you had a fantastic friendship with this person, and then on one day, after many, many years, you no longer see them anymore, you don't miss it. And clearly they don't miss it because 7 years later, they've never called, right? And I may have told the story in the past, but I'm going to tell it again. I remember when I was a kid, my mother used to take me to New York to visit my cousins so that I had a sense of what our family was. And there was one cousin of mine who I spent a lot of time with, and he had this couple friend, Conrad and Margie. And they were just like, to me, they were the be all and end all. And these were four people, great friends. And then one summer I came back, Conrad and Margie were no longer there. They were no longer friends with my cousin and his wife. And they both had young families. I remember saying to my cousin, you guys were friends for like 10, 15 years. What happened? And he just said to me, we fell out of friendship. And I was like shattered, right? I was like, how is that possible? Right? How is that possible? And I've said to my kids, you know, it's okay to fall out of friendship. It's okay to fall out of relationships. They don't have to be lifelong. Some may be lifelong, but they have to be benefiting both of us, right? We both have to be getting something from it. And then there's sometimes that people come into your lives and they're not A to Z, they're, you know, C to F, right? Or L to Y or type of thing, right? And they come in for a purpose and then they leave for a purpose, right? Their time is done with us. So as we approach the new year, Christmas, I wish you all a very happy and healthy Christmas, happy holidays for my non-Christian friends, and a spectacular new year. I want you to get comfortable with the uncomfortable. I want you to harness the uncomfortable. I want you to make the uncomfortable work for you. I want you to think about how to do it. I want you to take an accounting of all your relationships, personal and professional, which one's in the naughty list and which one's in the good list, right? And ask yourself the question, if you had less naughty list friends and you had more time to spend on your good list friends, where would you do that? And if you tell me that you don't have any naughty list friends, I tell you you're full of shit. And make that move. Spend more time with the people that make you feel good about yourself. Spend more time with people that make you laugh. Spend more time with people that genuinely care for you. Don't spend time with people that pick up the phone and say, hey, how come you haven't called me in 6 months? Because there's nothing in it for you. And really, there's nothing in it for them. One of the last things, because I think the world is filled with more givers than takers. One last little thing to think about. If you're a giver, remember to learn about your limits, because the takers don't have any. I'm Jim Bakiai. The podcast is Be You. I wish you once again a healthy and happy Christmas holiday and a wonderful new year. And Katie and I will see you in early January.